Thank you, Ari, and thank you, everyone. I'm gonna.
Do you have a little?
I'm gonna set a timer up just so I don't. Sure, that sounds good. My name is Jude Maul, and I'm with the USDA ARS in Beltsville, and I think I'm well, probably more along the lines of how Jerry's coming to some of these issues, in the sense that I'm a trained as a soil scientist, specifically soil microbiologist, and I look at how microbes interact with roots and how that affects cycling of nutrients. And very, I mean, we work in the field, we work in the lab, and in all that, there's very little time or mandate for direct outreach. And so I've always had this urge to engage and to talk about science with folks who are not in the field. And so in discussing this with one of my research mentors, he said, well, why don't you start an outreach project? And sure enough, shortly after that, I get a phone call from downtown, and they're building this People's Garden. And USDA People's Garden, they're going to take a corner of the Independence Avenue and turn it into a garden. And although there were great programmers there who were interested in building the garden and developing programs for outreach and education, they were not plantsmen and plantswomen. And so they had a terrible time starting off, and the plants didn't look good, and that's not good for education when someone's coming in and looking at a dead tomato plant. So I got involved in about 2010, and I started growing all the seedlings for the People's Garden out in Beltsville. I certified a greenhouse, organic greenhouse, first one on the Beltsville campus, which is interesting. And I started doing a lot of work with them, producing the seedlings. From this, I got a phone call from the Chili Pepper Institute in, associated with New Mexico State University. He said, oh, we've heard you're doing a lot of the seedling grow outs for the People's Garden. We want to do a Chili Pepper Festival in downtown to celebrate the history of chili peppers in the United States, and we'd really like to have a live plant aspect to it. And what can we do? I said, well, we can grow all your chilies and put them in the garden. So they sent 23 varieties of New Mex chilies that had been released by the New Mexico Department of Agriculture. There's the release dates. I hope you can see them. They go back to 58. Actually, the first one in New Mexico was bred in 1910, and that was chili number 9. And you'll see there's a variety in the types, the fruit style. I'll show you in a second, but there's differences in the heat units, the Scoville scale. And I had one chili that I added to this list, which was a chili that was brought back from New Mexico by one of my fellow gardener, my local gardeners. And he had worked for the USDA Forest Service out in New Mexico for many years and knew about this little town called Chimeo that had a local variety of indigenous, or not indigenous, they thought it was brought to New Mexico around 1600. And that one was different than these New Mex varieties, but at the same time, we wanted to include it because it was from New Mexico. So these different fruiting types, and this is important for the market aspect. There's some relation between fruiting shape and taste, We ended up growing these out in the People's Garden. We had lots of politicians there, Kathleen Merrigan and some congressmen. We all stood around with professional photographers and looked interested. This guy on the left is actually my garden partner at home, and he's probably one of the best gardeners in this whole scene here. And he helped out with growing these seedlings, and we planted about there's 150 different, or 150 pepper plants of all 23 varieties. Everyone posed for their pictures. I actually got a signed picture from Kathleen Merrigan. Thanks for growing chili peppers. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that, but yeah. So this is great, and we grew the peppers for the whole season there, and there were lots of visitors. They said up in the hundreds of thousands of people passed through. I don't think they do as well as the U.S. Botanic Garden in terms of having people out there. We mostly relied on signage to describe what the chili peppers were, and this was great, but in a way it was a little, it wasn't satisfying in that it seemed like a political event. But anyway, so I'm an active gardener, and I have a community garden space in my neighborhood, and I've got this 50 by 50 plot that's kind of stretched out, but you can see we've got some cover crops in there. And so 2011 rolls around, and I'm thinking, well, we have all this great germplasm collection of all the New Mexican peppers. I've heard complaints from my fellow gardeners about diseases, about this pepper doesn't like it wet, this pepper doesn't like it too hot. Why don't we grow them out and see how they do, and just do a straight up survival of the fittest. So 2011, I grew out a couple of hundred pots of plants, the 23 varieties, 10 pots each, and we actually put 3 plants in each pot. So 230 pots. Each gardener, the plan was a real rough plan. Each gardener takes 2 varieties, plants them in the garden, and evaluates the productivity, plant health, pepper quality and flavor. And then I wanted to see what would happen with the germplasm, so I required that they return to me 5 disease-free fruit. So over 100 people got peppers, and about 40 people returned them, returned peppers or evaluations. Probably of that, maybe 20 were actually even slightly interested in what they were doing. They just kind of said, I have to give these peppers to you, you know, like, and so this was a learning experience in that I was thinking, hey, this is a garden club. I'm giving you free peppers, and all you have to do is harvest 5 of them and give them back to me and, like, talk to me and tell me if the plant died or it looked yellow or if it looked great. And so there are definitely interested gardeners. Some people very excited. Some people kept coming back and taking more and more peppers, like the leftovers. I was like, where do you have a space for this? But and then of the peppers, I kind of kept tabs on these. I would wander around the garden plot. I knew who had all the peppers, so I would go and do my own sort of evaluations. We had about 25 different locations around Greenbelt, in the community garden as well as in other locations where we grew these. And of those that were reported back, there were definitely clear winners and losers. Primavera, Pinta, Vaquero, Big Jim, and the heirloom variety, Chimeo, were all reported as very good. Primavera, Pinto, and Vaquero are the jalapeno-style pepper, and Big Jim and Chimeo are what they call New Mexican-style, a little bit longer. Culturally, they use those peppers for different things. So I thought that was nice. We had two types of peppers. And so what we decided to do was these very interested gardeners, we got together and we said, well, you know, the jalapeno-style pepper, it grew the best and it produced the most fruit. The Chimeo was clearly the most flavorful. And it had another trait about it that the gardeners commented on. It's that it's indeterminate, so it grows like a vine. And they thought that was great because it just kept growing and flowering. And my advice, we'd put tomato cages around them and tie them up. And it was really quite a good plant. But we noticed that we did have failures of these seedlings. And when digging around the roots, noticed that there is a fair amount of root rot, and that's common with some of the heirloom varieties. We also noticed that they seem to get some Phytophthora disease on the fruit themselves. So thinking about this, and 5 minutes, okay, wow, that flew by. We decided to pollinate. I got thrown off because I didn't realize how long I've been. So we took the New Mexico vaquero jalapeno and the chameo and redid this grow out with these two types of plants planted adjacent to each other. The vaquero is Phytophthora wilt resistant. These are the two types of chilies. And what we did was each gardener got pots of chameo and vaquero planted next to each other, and I'd ask them to do like the shake test, shake them together, or you take your pinky and go in the vaquero flower, and then you hand pollinate the chameo. And then we only collect the chameo from the maternal plant. These are some of the spots in our community garden, and we did this for 3 years. 2016, it took 24 of those chameo seedlings that were grown and put them in isolation. I took them actually over to a different part of Greenbelt where I knew there were no chilies being grown, and we just grew them, looked for Phytophthora, evidence of Phytophthora, and collected all the fruit from the disease-free plants. Then in 2017, I was contacted by DC Urban Greens, which is a nonprofit that's focused on urban food deserts in Ward 7 and 8 of Washington, D.C. And along with University of District of Columbia, they had written some grants to establish these urban food gardens, and had heard through the grapevine that we were doing this, and they were particularly interested in the indeterminate growth habit. So this year, we planted out about 300 seedlings at four different urban farms in D.C. This is the Fort Stanton Farm. A lot of them look like this. They're either high tunnels, and some of them are on like a community pool property, or in this case, this is next to a reservoir, so it's public land that they've built these stations at. And in these gardens, these are production gardens. They serve about 400 families around the garden itself. To date, this year, from these gardens, they've given out 300 bags of produce, and then they have a farmer's market that they also sell the produce at. The plants in the foreground, this row is all chameo, and there's about 8 of these beds. They say each bed produces 2 to 5 pounds of peppers a week, and they're still flowering and producing. So they love them. These guys, they are very excited about it. And so we decided we're going to write some grants to look at doing some research in these gardens to look at very simply stature. Can we prop the plants up and get different amounts of yield? They record all of their yield because it's a city program, and they want numbers to report back. So they've been keeping yield on these, and we're going to do this next year with two types of growth habits. Basically, these peppers all flopped over on each other, but they're still producing peppers. So basically, what started as a simple goal of helping the People's Garden and the New Mexico State with their chili pepper fiesta, I just kind of like followed where this took me with the community garden in Greenbelt, and then getting calls about the urban gardens, and that's led to now we're growing peppers on rooftop gardens at the University of District of Columbia as part of their urban food hub, and it really brought a lot of people to me, or me to those people who I probably would not have interacted with otherwise. And I think maybe one of the messages here is that that from your perspective, from the gardener, botanic garden perspective, call your researchers. Call, just even if it sounds like a crazy idea, hey, do you know anything about peppers? Do you know anything about basil, whatever? And I think you'll find that researchers are waiting for those questions, because there's people like me who are sitting in the lab and grow chili peppers? Yeah, I'll grow chili peppers. Come on. So this pepper, the Vaquero by Chameo, we're calling it the Mayo, One of the important things here is that we wanted to change the name of Chimeo so we didn't confuse it with the heirloom. And my friend Ray is the gardener that was out in New Mexico and collected this. He actually grew a lot of it out there. So we're calling it Ray Stevens. We're calling it Stevens Vimeo. And these are the folks that helped out. Lots of the gardeners are at the top there, and then the various institutions that helped with this. So thank you very much.